What is the role of words in healing?
Strictly speaking,
words play no part at all in healing. The motivating factor is prayer or asking. What you ask for, you receive. But this refers to the prayers of the heart, not to the words you use in praying. Sometimes the words in the prayer are contradictory. Sometimes the words in the prayer agree. It doesn't matter. God doesn't understand words. That answers a lot of questions. Because words were made by separated minds to keep the separated minds in the illusion of separation. Words can be helpful, particularly for the beginner, in helping concentration and facilitating the exclusion or at least the control of extraneous thoughts. Let's not forget, however, that words are nothing but symbols of symbols. Words are twice removed from reality. Okay, so let's see if we can get the juice out of that paragraph. Okay, so it really doesn't matter what words you use when you are trying to heal. The motivating factor is prayer, and the Course defines prayer as asking. So when the Course says prayer, it's just talking about asking. So the motivating factor is asking. What you ask for, you receive. But this refers to the prayer of the heart, not to the words you use in praying. That, to me, that's a very important statement. You know, we always hear what you ask for, you receive. But what the Course says is that what you receive is what you're asking for in your heart. You don't necessarily receive the words that you're using. Because it's what we're asking for in our heart is what we're really asking for. He talks about in the text about the answer to prayer, that when you ask for something but you're afraid of what you're asking for, then the receiving of it really isn't what you would want. So therefore you're not really asking for it, because spirit is not going to give us anything that increases our fear. So if I ask for something but I'm afraid to receive it, which is the same as saying somehow I feel unworthy of it, then that prayer is not going to be answered, because that prayer would only increase our fear. So it's not the words that we use, it's what we're asking for in our heart that we receive. So sometimes the words in the prayer, for instance, I could use the words that say, I really would like to have a really loving relationship. But in my heart, I haven't forgiven the last person I was in a relationship with, and I'm full of grievances. And the truth is, I don't really want a relationship at all. I'm really afraid of relationships. I don't really feel comfortable about relationships. So in that case, the words I'm using in the prayer are not in agreement. Also, it says, God doesn't understand words. I thought that was interesting, too, because it says we made up words to keep us in the illusion of separation. Because let's face it, it's the labels that we put on everything that makes us think we're different from each other. All the names and the labeling. It's really just one whatever it is. Whatever this is, it's just one whatever it is. And what we do is we dissect it and break it down. This is a book, this is a recorder, these are glasses, you're a woman, this is a carpet, this is a pen, this is a notebook. So words, really, we use words to keep us in the illusion of being separate and different from each other. I'm a black person, you're a white person. Words just keep us in the illusion of separation. How many times have you been talking about the exact same thing to somebody, but because you all were using different terminology, it looked like you were talking about two different things? Mm-hmm. And so then it ends up making you feel separate more so than bringing you together. So the Course says that words can be helpful with the beginner, because words help concentration. For instance, if the Course says, for instance, I give everything I see all the meaning that it has for me. Well, using those words help me concentrate on that idea. And it helps to exclude other ideas to the contrary. So when I say I'm open, receptive to prosperity and abundance, well, that's a way of concentrating on abundance and excluding words and thoughts of lack. So words just help us concentrate and focus our attention. But words are actually also what we use to keep us in the illusion of separation. So he says words are symbols of symbols. That's an interesting statement too. My name is Earl. So that word is a symbol of this body that we identify as Earl, right? But the body we identify as Earl is a symbol of separation. So the word is really a symbol. Earl is really a symbol of a symbol. My physical body is a symbol of the idea of separation. And the name Earl is the name for my symbol of separation. So by the time you say something to somebody, you're two steps removed from reality because you're describing a symbol. So it's two steps removed from reality. Okay. Any thoughts, feelings, comments, questions about that paragraph? What stuck out for me in that paragraph was the idea that I always receive what I'm asking for in my heart and not the words that I use. So if I really wanted to become more aware, I should admit to myself that everything that I have in my life is somehow a reflection of what I think I deserve in my heart, regardless of the words that I'm using. If I say in words that I hunger for relationships and a much more active social life and lots of people that love and adore me, but there's nobody around, then in my heart I'm asking to be alone. Somehow or another I'm afraid of having that. So it would be much better for me to admit that at some level I don't want that than to tell myself that I want it and I'm being denied. Because if I say I want it and I'm being denied, then that's not empowering. But if I say at some level, and I have to remove these blocks, I got some issues obviously because I think I really want to have a lot of cool relationships, but I'm not having them. It would be better for me to say at some level I don't want it, and that's why it's not there. That's still empowering because they're still saying that what's happening is somehow connected to my own consciousness. But if I walk around all day pretending like I want it one way, but it's all happened another way, then that's disempowering. So in the beginning of our spiritual awakening, it's better to own whatever is happening, even if you don't like it. Gives you more power than to talk like you're a victim of everything that's happening around you, and it's something you want to be different, but somehow or another it's not that way. So in the beginning of the awakening process, there's a lot of resistance that people have, because they have to do it just the opposite of the way that they've been doing it, which is saying, I'm a victim of circumstances. I have all these desires and wishes, and none of them are happening, and it's somebody else's fault, and it has nothing to do with me. Okay? So I come to a truth class so I can finally have what I want. But in order to have what I want, I have to be willing to admit that what I don't like is also my making, too. It's not like what I don't like happened to me. But what I do like is going to happen because of me. The truth is, both of them are because of you. And it may be coming from words. It may be coming from things that you learned and things that you experienced and things that you were taught and things that you've gone through in the past. And those things are part of your internal dialogue and what you believe about yourself and what you say to yourself. Because it's what you say to yourself in your head that creates your reality more than what you say out loud or hear out loud. It's that internal conversation that we have with ourselves that no one else hears. That's the conversation that determines our perception. So I can tell you all I'm doing fine and be very worried about something. And that worry that I'm not telling you about is affecting my consciousness and will therefore be projected into my experience, not what I'm faking on the outside. Saying, even though it's good to say those positive things, because it facilitates concentration and focus, your life is a reflection of your internal conversation. What you're saying that nobody else hears. Like the Course says, it's what you are saying to yourself that's teaching you. For instance, I'm having this conversation with you, and it would seem like this conversation is teaching. It's not. Your interpretation of this conversation is teaching you. So it's not really me. You're listening to what I'm saying. and then you're having opinions about it. Right? Can I safely assume that?
Uh-huh.
And those opinions that you're having, that's what you're getting out of the lesson. And that's why it really doesn't, in a way, kind of really doesn't matter what you say to people.
Right.
Because they're going to hear what?
Right.
What they want to hear.
Yeah.
If a person has decided they like you, you can say almost anything. And they'll somehow or another figure out a way to still like you. If a person has decided not to like you, then you can do almost anything. You can give them a trip to Paris. And they'd still figure out a way not to like you. Because ultimately it's always our interpretations that determine our reactions and emotions. So that's what I got out of it. Anybody else care to share anything that stuck out for them in that paragraph? I guess not. Pillar.
I think for me, it really is about the whole asking thing. I'm going through some work of my own, and I'm realizing I don't ask for things. I don't dare to ask for things in words. So it's interesting to me. It doesn't even matter if I put it into words. Because I'm not completely aligned in my heart. So until I'm completely aligned in my heart, then I'll be able to ask.
Hello.
Yeah.
And everything can be... goes back to feelings of worthiness or unworthiness. And so that's why nothing's more important than recognizing your value. There's nothing a person can do more important than do the things that help them recognize their value. That's why I love the Course in Miracles. Because what could be greater for your sense of value than to see yourself as a child of God? To see yourself as this unlimited creation of this unlimited creator. That's like the highest level of self-esteem. It's like being the child of the king. It's very difficult for a prince not to feel like he has some value just because he's the son of the king. So to me, the Course is trying to cut through all of the red tape and just go, why don't we just go straight to the idea that will create everything that you want, which is that you have incredible levels of value and that you're not guilty and that you're not sinful. And this is an idea that you need to birth into your reality. You can't birth it if you don't believe it and begin to support it. And so that's, to me, that's the purpose of the classes. Like I said over and over again, I could care less about debating concepts in my classes. I have no interest in it whatsoever. The purpose of my class is to help people remember their value and to let go of their feelings of sin and guilt, because it's only those two things that create every problem a person has, whether it's a relationship problem, a financial problem, a spiritual problem, an emotion, it can all be taken back to a sense of unworthiness and a sense of guilt and separation from God. So to me, the Course deals with the real issue. But the real issue isn't as attractive to people as the unreal issues. So you'll always have more people come to anything that's dealing with the unreal reason than you'll ever have people support a class that deals with the real reasons. If not, everybody would be happy. So what are you asking? So what am I asking for in my heart? That's the question I need to ask myself. And then I need to use words that help facilitate concentration on the thoughts that I'd like to see manifested. And that's what the workbook lessons do. That's why, like my lesson yesterday, which, the Holy Christ is born in me today. Now, from a Course perspective, holy means innocent, and Christ means your loving self. And so to say my innocent, loving self is born in me today, well, that was supposed to be my thought for the day. So that idea increases my sense of value. that the Holy Christ is born in me today. The innocent love that I am is born in me today. So they're just words, right? But they're helping me concentrate on the ideas that I want to accept as true.
And those are the gifts of God. Those are the lesson is I'm entrusted with the gifts.
Exactly. And those thoughts are the gifts of God. Okay? It's like I'm trying to escape from prison, and that's the little shovel. You know what I'm saying? You know, the thoughts of truth. You know, that's how I get out of this fearful reality. Okay? Anybody else? Like I said, Wednesday, I welcome discussion and questions and stuff. There's no, I'm not in a hurry. No rush. Okay, as symbols, words have quite specific references. Even when words seem most abstract, the picture that comes to mind is apt to be very concrete. Unless a specific referent does occur to the mind in conjunction with the word has little or no practical meaning, and so the word can't help the healing process. The prayer of the heart, okay, always, the prayer of the heart does not really ask for concrete physical things. The prayer of the heart always requests some kind of experience. The specific thing asked for being the bringer of the desired experience in the opinion of the asker. In other words, the words are symbols for the things asked for. But the things themselves but stand for the experiences that are hoped for. Okay, so let's go through that one.
Wow.
I know, it's so simple, it doesn't make sense. Okay, so I'll clarify. That's what's so wild about the course. It's like it's so obvious that it doesn't make sense. Okay. If you hear the word Earl Purdy, doesn't that bring up a quite specific reference?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when you hear the word Earl Purdy, doesn't it bring a picture to your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Thank you. Lord have mercy. That's what I'm about. I'm telling you. Juicy. Lord have mercy. I thank you for your correct perception. Y'all got the right perception of me.
I'm
hanging out here.
Hey.
But it's helping facilitate my concentration.
Yeah. I did.
Okay. So unless a specific reference does occur in mind in conjunction with the word has little or no practical meaning. Let me give you an example I like to use in my class. So it's astrology, for instance, is nothing but symbolism. Just like the world is nothing but symbolism. It's nothing but a language. Just like the Course says, everything in the world is a language. So if I was to say to you, you have Uranus opposing Neptune square Venus, how does that make you feel?
Nervous.
You don't really know, right?
That's my face.
I'll write you start talking about my anus, you know what I'm saying? But okay. My point is, if it doesn't bring any kind of a reference to your mind or a picture to your mind, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't mean anything, right? All right. But to a person that practices astrology, that's saying a lot. So that means that the symbol itself is neutral. You know, it doesn't have any meaning until you give it a meaning. Right? So the Course is telling us that unless a symbol or a word has some kind of a meaning, then it doesn't help our healing process. Unless I knew what that meant, that couldn't help my healing process. So it's really the meanings that we're giving to things that's either helping us or hindering us. And that's the thing that's so important to realize. That when you use a word, you're just relating to a symbol. Like some people see Course in Miracles and they go, oh wow, it's a Course in Miracles, I really like that book. And then there's some people that say, the Course in Miracles, get it away from me. Okay, because it's just a symbol. That's how you can always tell a symbol. It's just a symbol. Which means that it means no more than the meaning that the person gives to it. But what the Course says is take that thought and apply it to every single thing that you see. And that's the, now you know the truth. Why does my job, what does it symbolize? My car, what is it, does it symbolize I'm not successful because I didn't drive up in a Mercedes? Or does it symbolize that I got a way to get to the class and I need the transportation? I could put myself down for not driving the latest model, or I could realize that I should be grateful because I was able to get here. See, so it's not my car. It's the meaning I give it. So my car is just a symbol, but it's a symbol of what I give it meaning. Okay? When you look in the mirror and you look at your physical body, it's the same thing is true. You look at your body in the mirror and you go, wow, I love that person. That's a really cool person. Or you get out the shower and turn your head away from the mirror and try to get out of there as fast as you possibly can before you look, because you're judging yourself by what your body looks like. You see what I mean? The body is neutral. All symbols are neutral. It's just, what is the meaning I want to give to it? And then the meaning that I'm going to give to it is based on my feeling of worthiness or unworthiness. So if I feel like I'm a valuable being, I thank my body. If I feel like I'm not, then I look at my body in a critical, judgmental light. But my body is neutral. You follow me? So therefore, the Course says it's not really the words that matter when you pray. It says what? The prayer of the heart does not really ask for concrete things. Now, that's a good one. Okay? For instance, if you say, I want to have a brand new relationship, a brand new loving relationship, okay? He says, you're really requesting some kind of experience. If I say I want a brand new car, I'm really asking for an experience, right? And so it says the specific thing being the relationship or the car, that is what I think is going to be the bringer of the desired experience. I need the experience of having transportation from home to the church. I ask for a car or a cab because I think the physical cab is going to be the bringer of the experience of being transported to church. I ask for a brand new relationship. I want to meet a brand new person. I put it that way. Why? Because I think that brand new person is going to bring me the experience of love. So your heart is always asking for an experience.
So, So for an alcoholic, it's not the alcohol. It's the meaning they give.
Exactly.
To the feeling they get.
Right. It's like, why do I want that alcohol? So I can have the experience that I think that alcohol is going to give me of forgetting my problems or feeling one. A lot of drug addiction or any kind of addiction is really rooted in a desire for God. It's really rooted in a desire to feel something transcendental beyond what we feel in this world. Like in astrology, the people who have the charts that reflect the most psychic spiritual abilities are also the exact same people in astrology that are most prone to drug addiction, because they're seeking an experience beyond what the physical world seems to offer. And let's face it, drugs and alcohol and even sex represents altered states of consciousness. If you're really doing sex right, you lose a sense of separateness. If you're really doing drugs right, you don't have any sense of your normal consciousness and limitations that you are used to having. If you're doing alcohol right, you think you're numbed out and you don't feel what you felt before. So again, the reason the person is doing it is because they're seeking an experience. If they don't love themselves, they're seeking an experience of guilt and condemnation of themselves. If they love themselves, then they wouldn't do something that didn't make them feel good about themselves. And notice, if you notice what I'm saying, I'm not condemning drugs or alcohol. I'm not condemning anything, because the more you wake up, the less you condemn anything. You know it's all neutral, and you know that the person is doing it to themselves through it. If you were going to get rid of everything that people could potentially choose to hurt themselves through, you'd have to get rid of everything in the world. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you go, let's get rid of cigarettes because people choose to hurt themselves through cigarettes. So a person who chooses to hurt themselves will just choose something else to hurt themselves. What a person needs is a sense of self-love and self-esteem and wholeness to the point that they wouldn't do anything that they felt was potentially harmful to themselves. So what they need is a change of mind. You know, you can try to keep everything out of a child's way, or you can teach that child not to mess with people's stuff. Like when my children were growing up, people didn't have to put stuff away. You know, my children knew how to behave. I know that's an unusual concept nowadays. Because the parents, in my perception, have let the children become the parents. And it's all about whatever the child wants, regardless of what the parent wants for the child. And that's being mistaken. That's giving their child free expression. But people don't realize children want boundaries, and they want limits until they get aware enough to choose right for themselves. You're not giving a child, you're not doing a favor to a child to let a child control you. First of all, you're giving this child the misperception that everybody feels about them the way you do. And so as soon as that child goes in an environment where they don't have that meaning,
they're going to
freak totally out because they don't realize that their value is not inherent in themselves. The value that they're feeling is based on what they've been given from their parents. You see what I mean? You know, like I said, when I grew up, people weren't coming in school shooting people up. You know, sorry. It just wasn't. It's funny that our more liberal parents are the ones that have all the kids that are killing people. And then somehow we're missing that. You know, and the so-called stricter parents who didn't know how to do it right had children that went to school that were totally safe all 12 years they went to school. It's like, you know, I have a child of the 60s, so it's interesting to me to see all the love children are the most conservative generation that America has ever seen. It's like everything we said we weren't going to be like when I was in our, my 20s, that's exactly what most of the population is like now. And they're my age. They're the most conservative, you know everything. So that's a classic example of metaphysical law. What you condemn and project, you become. Everything we condemned and projected, pretty much, we become. Who is it that's polluting the planet? It's not the children. Right? But it's our generation that was down with the man. You know what I'm saying? So it's funny to me because I always see how universal law is acting out all around me, and people act like they can't see the truth of the truth. It's like there's nothing more, like the quote says, nothing more obvious than the truth. But you have to be willing to admit it. So the quote says it always says that the prayer of the heart is always requesting some kind of experience, but the specific things that you ask for are going to be the bringers of the desired experience. So then when people say, well, what is the quote saying? Then it says, well, I'll say it another way. Whatever words you're using are just symbols for things that you're asking for. I want a car. But the car just stands for an experience that I want. So when you say you want a new relationship, you're saying, I want a new experience. I want a new job. I want a new experience. I want a new house. I want a new experience. I want some more clothes. I want a new experience. You're always asking for an experience. And so it's the experience that you receive and not necessarily the thing that you decided to have the experience through. For instance, if I say I want the experience of love through a friendship with you, right, but I don't believe that I deserve it, then I can't have that experience through you because you love me. So I am attracted to a person that gives me an experience that's not loving. So I'll end up having a relationship with somebody beside you, maybe that gives me a different experience because that's what I believe I deserve in my heart. So I'm this really nice person that's always attracting crappy partners. I'm this really nice person that attracts all the unfaithful men and women. Okay? Because I'm afraid, I feel separate, I feel unworthy, so therefore I don't deserve the experience of a relationship that's full of integrity. Why? Because I'm not being in integrity with myself. How am I not being in integrity with myself? Well, I'm not being true to me. I'm going to a job I don't love. I'm in a relationship I'm not fulfilled. I do things every day that really don't move me. I'm not honest in my relationships with people. So I'm not in integrity. So therefore, I attract relationships that give me that experience. So again, in order to get back in alignment, then a person needs to love themselves first, because everything will come out of your self-love. Nobody's going to treat me better than I do. And if people look like they're treating me better than I treat myself, then in my heart, I love myself more than I realize. So if you're a person that people treat you better than you think you deserve to be treated, you love yourself more than you think you do.
Wow, damn.
All right.
And I definitely do.
Yeah.
I love myself a lot more than I think I do. Yeah. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
But if you were to flip, you were just the reverse, you thought you had your act together, and you was the coolest person walking, and couldn't nobody stand you. They see you coming and they run. See, then you don't really think as highly of yourself as you think you do, and the way you're acting on the outside is just a lot of bravado. Because maybe that's what you want to believe about yourself.
Because if you look good...
Yeah, because in the world, if you look good, you are good. That's why people spend so much money on their appearance. And I can understand that. It's like a shortcut. You know, why do I have to make sure I got a pleasing personality when I could have a really nice car, a really nice house, and have a really nice body, and just because of that, I could walk in the room and 15 women walk up to me and say, hey, can I get next to you? I can totally understand why people put focus on the outer. In this world, that's all that matters. But it's just like, well, what am I getting? You know what I mean? If I just attract a bunch of people to me that attracted me to me because of my outer, how shallow? So I'm really getting a lot of shallow women. And that's okay if all I want is their body, and they're willing to trade their body for my car, or my house, or my security. No, sign on the dotted line, no problem. I had a friend like that. It was amazing to me. He was very wealthy. And he had a beautiful home, and he didn't have to say anything. His stuff just seduced every women of that caliber. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to be a nice guy. He represented security, which is the carrot that most females are about. And then the carrot for most males is just the body itself. But then they have a tendency to judge each other, like the women are judging me. He just wants the body. Well, yeah, but you just want my house. So how does that make you higher? You know, you want to use me for security so you don't have to work. How does that somehow make you higher than me just wanting to get down with you tonight? You see what I mean? We're just the same. Just totally, you know. And then as you wake up, then your value system shifts, and that may not be necessarily true for you. But if we would just be unspiritual for a moment and just get real, we know that what I'm saying is very true.
Yep.
Yeah. So again, so that goes back to they are seeking an experience of security, right? And then the man may be wants to experience the experience of physical pleasure. But it's still wanting an experience, and those things are symbolic of that experience. Okay? So now when I say I want God, it's symbolic of me wanting to have the experience of an unconditional love that never ends. That I can always depend on, that's secure, that's not based on conditions. So that's why I used to like to use words like God or Spirit, or for me, even Jesus or Christ, or whatever works for you. Some people's Buddha, whatever. It's not those words, it's what those words symbolize that matters. And usually when you hear words like God or Christ or Jesus or Buddha or Allah or any of that, it immediately takes you into a thought of some kind of a transcendental experience, that you're getting ready to have an experience that's beyond the ordinary experience. Anybody else have anything they want to share? And if you have done what I've said, you're innocent. And if you do it tonight, you're innocent. And if you do it tomorrow, you're innocent.
It's a really nice car, Earl.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong. It's nothing. And since all symbols are neutral, let's take it the other direction. Since all symbols are neutral, it is perfectly okay to have a nice car, a nice house, a nice bank account, take trips, all that have nice clothes, because it's just symbols. You're not more holy because you don't ask for anything physical. You know, I want the best that every level has to offer. I'm just at a level in my own personal spiritual growth where I've had enough things in my life to know that the things are not it. And that was the difference between Earl when he was 20 or 30 and Earl when he's in his 50s. It's like, I know I can get stuff. I've had lots of stuff. And I've had lots of bodies. And I've had all of that. And I've never had any of that that didn't keep me somehow believing that I wanted something more. And so what I came to realize was just what the Course is saying. I'm really seeking an experience of a transcendental connection and love that I came from that's beyond what we give to each other in this world as separate beings. So it's not like I'm condemning the game that I used to play. It's just that I don't want to play that game anymore. And so classes that teach people how to play that game are very popular. That's why The Secret is very popular, because it's about how can you play the manifestation game. And I think the manifestation game is cool, but you need to get back to what is the experience that I'm hoping to have through this manifestation. So yeah, you can visualize a trip to Hawaii and manifest it, but you could also puke all the way there with seasickness if you don't love yourself. You can fall overboard. Get a shark eat you. You know what I'm saying? So, I came here to have a good time, and now I got one leg. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what happened? You know? And that's why even if you talk about even in special relationships, what is the biggest thing in the average relationship that people absolutely freak out about and will break up the relationship and even want to kill the person about it? Who can tell me?
Money?
Cheating. Oh. It's the idea that that person had sex with somebody else beside you. Right? Okay? So, sex then becomes what? The symbol of love. It becomes the symbol of the value that you have with each other. And that's why nothing makes people more angry than when you devalue the importance of sex. Because sex means so much. So much so that people don't even talk about it. Like I've talked 30 years, and I can count a number of times on two hands that anybody's literally just really brought up sex. We don't even talk about it. Because in the spiritual class, you don't talk about sex. And you don't talk about money. Because we're spiritual. But at the same time, we all know that if we're in a special relationship and someone did either one of those things, messed with your money or had sex with somebody else, you'd be freaking out. So why don't we deal with those issues in classes? But nobody brings them up. I like my classes to deal with the real issues that we deal with in this world. And that's difficult because then a person has to reveal something about themselves. And we like to bring our representatives to classes and keep our real selves hidden away. And that's what I love about the AMTs. And what I try to do in the AMTs is give us more time to actually, like, let's get down. Let's deal with the real deal here. Okay.
It's so interesting because, like, if you think about TV or the media, then it's all about sex.
Right.
But if sex equals love, then what you just said is true, and I think it is. That's why it's out there. I mean, it's physically attractive, but it's how we define love.
It's how we define love.
But yeah, so that's why they're showing it, because that's the representation of love rather than love being a part of love.
Right.
But that love is so much bigger.
Or like the Course would say, sex is neutral, and then it means what you give it. So it could be symbolic of the love that you share that you think is very precious between you, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, or it could be symbolic of guilt, something that you do that you think is sinful or bad or to make yourself feel guilty. But sex itself is neutral. It's neither good nor bad. That's what Jesus is talking through the course. Earl, give yourself a friggin' break. All you feeling guilty or angry or happy or sad about are the meanings you're giving to these infinite number of symbols that you see all around you, including the symbol of yourself as a man. And if you could really get that clearly, you have the secret to happiness. Because if it's all a reflection of my interpretation that's making me feel this way, then if I could get some new interpretations or meanings, then I could have different emotional reactions, and theoretically I could be happy all day long. If it's just my meanings that's making me miserable, then instead of trying to change everybody, why don't I just change the meanings? And then the mind goes, well, what meaning should I give it? And then that's where the truth books come in. Like the Course says, well, I got 1,122 pages of meanings that you could give that are new. Or there's some other discipline or doctrine you like, a path you like. All those paths have one thing in common. All real paths are always trying to give you alternative meanings to what you are experiencing so that you can have some peace. Most people are too lazy, and they don't love themselves enough to take the time to give themselves the new meanings that would free them.
It's so liberating. Exactly, the word free. It's so liberating. It doesn't mean anything, or it means everything.
Depends on you. Right. Right.
And the programming, obviously, we're all conditioned and programmed, and it's so powerful.
It is. It is.
It is. Going to church or don't going to church.
Yeah.
I grew up Catholic.
Oh, tell me about it.
Oh, my God.
Tell me about it. I was Baptist and Catholic. I really did myself a
lot. But you have to go to Mass. You're not going to Mass. My brother said, hey, it's the Holy Day, and, you know, you got to go to Mass. And it's like, well, yeah, I haven't even noticed that. I'm not really practicing Catholic anymore. Yeah, he hasn't even noticed that. But it's so, like you say, so powerful within me, the traditions or the way of being or the way of seeing.
And I love some ritual, but it's really about what is the meaning of the ritual.
What you know,
yeah, what, yeah, like he's saying here, what is the experience? Because you're hoping for an experience with everything you ask for, right? And then the Course says, well, let's break it down. There are only two experiences. Let's just make it simple. Through everything you're asking for, you're either asking for an experience of love, or you're asking for an experience of fear. Either you're asking for an experience of peace through that one relationship, or you're asking for an experience of conflict. You're either asking for an experience of abundance, which are all the same as love and fear. You see what I mean? So it's trying to get us to understand that the form doesn't matter. We need to go to another level of consciousness where it's not about the thing. It's about what is it that I want the thing to bring me. And what I want the thing to bring me is going to be based on how I feel about myself. So the most important people in my world are people who do like you said. I see a beautiful person. I see a loving, juicy person. See, what are you doing? You are helping to reinforce the idea of my beauty and my value, right? And that's great, right? Then I feel better about myself with your help. So I think Earl is more valuable, right? So what do? Then I start treating Earl better, and then I start asking for more experiences that bring Earl peace, no matter what Earl asks for, a new car, a new house, a new car, whatever I want. And that's the beauty of what we're doing. We're trying to reinforce the ideas that we want to see manifested in our experience. So we can either spend an hour reinforcing the truth, or we could spend an hour debating it. And most people take debating as learning. Analyzing it as learning. Okay? You have your hand up?
Well, I don't know if it's accurate. One of the things I wrote in my journal was the awareness of the way I've been living lately.
Mm-hmm.
What I wrote was, you're making decisions outside the law, or you're making your own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Making your own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So would that be copacetic with kind of what we're talking about here, where rather than other people telling me how to live or what to do, I'm really making it, sort of making it up. I'm making my own decisions. Or what would be considered outside the laws or the norm?
It's where you are now. It's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, that's the key to happiness. That's actually the key to happiness.
Thank you.
You know, it's like if you do just the opposite of what everybody's doing, that's not happy. then you actually are going in the right direction. You see, so that's when you find out how much you bought into all of the programming of the world. It's how you react when you do it differently. And sometimes people don't realize how much they still are programmed. Like sometimes when people come to truth stuff and they hear stuff like, you're innocent, you're free, there is no sin, you just make a mistake, but mistakes are for correction. And they go wow. They go, oh, well, that means I can just go out here and just do anything I want to do. And they don't realize that they haven't, it's like an iceberg. You got so many beliefs beneath the surface that are beliefs of the world that when you do that before you really transform yourself, you kick your butt at the back end. You go ahead and you do all that wild stuff, but then later on you crucify yourself because subconsciously you believe it's wrong.
In the heart.
And yeah, because that's what you learned. You know, and so the Course says, it's sort of like this, which is, I'm going to stop on this note, but it's one of those tough truths. Can you handle it?
Yep.
Okay. You know, what you perceive is your subconscious mind. I said again, what you perceive is your subconscious mind. Like, if you want to know what your hidden beliefs are, it's what you're looking at on TV. It's what you see in your world. It's what you see on the job. It's everything you see out there is not you. That is your subconscious mind. And that's why it looks like it's happening to you. Because you're in denial about it. Because it's beneath the surface. See, I'm right. I'm the little tip of the iceberg. That's Earl. This is Earl that's sitting in the chair. And so the Earl is sitting in the chair. He's got all these opinions about all the rest of this stuff that's out there. But the stuff out there is the rest of Earl. The stuff out there is the rest of Earl. And so that's why Course is saying, don't attack it. Don't condemn it. See it as a call for love. Because it's the Course's way of saying, stop condemning yourself. Because the more you condemn yourself, the more you're going to draw things to you for you to condemn. But guess what? The iceberg melts. And then your subconscious is about nothing but feelings of your worthiness all the way down, right? So then you feel good about yourself, and the world is also reflecting that love back to you because now you've transformed your consciousness all the way through. And that's what you're doing every time you do a lesson, every time you read. You're melting a little bit more of that iceberg of the past. And one day, there is nothing under the water but the love. And then it looks like you're feeling good and everything that's coming at you is good because you have a purified consciousness. And that's where we're headed toward. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate y'all for having me remember what I don't want to forget. So we're going to do the love offering. Thank you for sharing with me. And if you still want to do the advanced mind training, you can still sign up for it today. And it's from 10 to 3 Saturday right here at the church. Because that's what it's going to be about. It's going to be about, let's go deeper, let's get rid of the iceberg, let's take an honest look at ourselves and everything that's going on. And I know the perfect people will be there, because it's always here. Any announcements that anybody need to make before I... Soul is trying to get this family, you know. Aries is trying to learn lessons in courage and leadership. Taurus is trying to learn manifestation lessons. Gemini is trying to learn how to communicate in the power of the mind. Cancer is learning how to nurture themselves and others. Leo is learning how to love personally and to be a leader. Virgo is about service and healing. Libra is about, oh, this time around I got to get the relationship stuff done. Scorpio, how I'm going to deal with power and sexuality. Sag is freedom and knowledge. Capricorn is how do I achieve my goals and my ambitions and manifest those things. What's the right use of power? Aquarius says, I'm here to express my own uniqueness, my own unconventionality, to experiment, to try things that have never been done before. Pisces, I'm learning unconditional love and compassion and how to do psychic and intuitive communication. So if that's like the intention of that soul. And so everything that's happening in their chart is how they're going to work that dynamic out. And each chart is different because each person has their own individual path. It wasn't like you were just dropped in here without any kind of instructions or manual. Okay? It's like there is a way. Now, it seems crazy. It seems insane. You know, I got to tell people, I've done it for 30 years almost. And it's like, It blows my mind that somebody can tell me their birthday, I can calculate these symbols and use these symbols to communicate something to people, and over 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 again, you see people act out exactly that until they become conscious. When they become conscious of their chart, then they start using their free will. But it's much easier to predict a person who doesn't believe in it than it is a person who does.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's much easier to predict people who are narrow-minded or limited in their perception. They're like child's play to predict what they're going to do. Somebody that's consciously evolving, they're much more difficult to predict because they're more of a conscious awareness of their vehicle and how to drive it. So it still works to your advantage, to me. It's like as long as you don't use it to try to manipulate anybody, because then you're just manipulating yourself. So I couldn't be a conscious person and try to manipulate somebody, because that means I'm unconscious. Because I would only manipulate myself if I was doing that, you know. But it certainly makes it easier to get along with everybody, because you're not expecting them to act like you. So all of a sudden, you're not judging people like you used to. You know, if the Gemini is there one day, gone the next, you don't take it personal. You know, if the Capricorn don't want to be with you unless you really got something to offer in terms of what their goal and ambition is, you don't look at it, you don't condemn them for that. You know, they want to grow through what they're doing or whoever they're with or whatever they're doing, you know. You won't be mad at the Scorpio that wants to control. They're on a power trip until they learn who they are. You know, so my point, and so if a person isn't open to that, then the truth comes through them through something else. So it's not even necessary for everybody to believe what I believe or be open to what I believe. There are more people who are open to me than I could ever meet, let alone be concerned about the ones who are not. There are more people that would be open to the course than I could ever teach, let alone try to go out and convert a Southern Baptist to the course. Whenever you try to hook people into stuff that are not interested, that's your ego, because there are more people that could be sent to you who are open to you than you could ever meet and you could deal with in a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So you just have to be open to those people. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I don't ever try to convert anybody. You know, I want to talk to the people that's going in the same direction as me. I don't have a lot of time to convince somebody they ought to go my way. That's a waste of time, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah. But when you don't love yourself, and when you don't believe it yourself, then you are attracted to people who oppose it. Mm-hmm. Because they're just reflecting back to you your own lack of belief in it. That's why in the very beginning, when people get introduced to stuff like this, they'll go right out, like you said, and try to convince people who think they're crazy. Well, that's because they think they're crazy for being in it themselves. It's brand new to them. And so naturally, they go to their old belief system, which would be the people who oppose them. So that's deep, man, when you think about it. So when I first got into it, I was always meeting people who were trying to convert me, or people who would come to my class and oppose what I was saying. As I accepted it more, those people dropped away. The more I accepted it, the less opposition I got from the world. So I'm at the point now that I don't even remember the last time I got in a conversation with somebody about debating beliefs. And I'm doing it every day in a public way. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's because I don't have anything to prove anymore. I'm accepting it for myself, so I don't get the opposition. So that's it. That's the secret. The more you accept it for yourself, and not just this, anything. Wherever you get in opposition is where you're dealing with your own hidden beliefs. So look in your life, and wherever it's like you look like you have the most opposition happening, you're being faced with your own subconscious beliefs. So all you have to do to get rid of that opposition is to realize, number one, those are your beliefs, and then dedicate yourself more to the belief that you want to believe now. And then you transcend that opposition. Okay? All right. Well, I promise I'll see you the next time I see you. You can count on that 100%. I'll be there.